Kayla DeBusk is a health program specialist in the Immunization Assessment and Promotion Program at the Spokane Regional Health District. At one time, she worked with local pediatricians who received vaccines from the federal government.
Every 2 years, someone like me would come in and review how they are recommending storing the pieces that they need to follow if there's an adverse reaction, and just ensuring that they knew where to go to get information if they had questions. So I did that for 2 years, and I learned so much in that two-year period, and learned that vaccines are actually very regulated, and even at the level of at your pediatrician's office.
So who does the regulation? Is it federal governments, states do the regulation? How does that work?
So it is a program through the CDC, the Vaccine for Children program.
CDC, Center for Diseases Control
and Prevention. They give grants out to states, and so ours is the Department of Health. And Department of Health contracts with us to oversee pretty much almost the eastern side of Washington. So we'll go up to like Northeast Tri-Counties and Spokane County and do those site visits for the Vaccine for Children program.
How are vaccines tested in the United States?
They go through quite a rigorous phase of testing. Generally, it's the manufacturer that says that they have a vaccine that they want to get licensed. And in order to do that, the FDA puts them through multiple phases of licensing with thousands of participants that are voluntarily participating. They go through such phases as just general reactions to testing for efficacy and immunogenicity, and then how they regulate also how they're going to manufacture the vaccine.
Are the vaccine companies then, or do they lead the vaccination, the evaluation of the vaccination, or are there outside scientists, agencies that overlook that?
I think the best way to describe that is that it's generally two entities working together, a public or a private company, such as the manufacturer, and then the Food and Drug Administration, right? So the manufacturer comes forth saying, I want to do this. The FDA says, that's fine, but you have to follow these steps. And then it's kind of them going back and forth, the manufacturer saying, okay, we've completed this phase. The FDA reviews all the requirements for that phase, say, yes, you met it. And if they get through all three phases, then they help them produce a package insert for licensing.
Are vaccines tested in the same way that other prescription drugs are tested?
I'm not certain about that. I know a lot about vaccines, but I'm not sure about your child's asthma medication or the Adderall or anything else that they're on. I don't know how those are tested.
Okay. So do you have an idea of how long it takes to take a vaccine from, I guess, idea to final approval by the federal government? Is it a long process?
They say that it's a minimum of 10 years.
How are they tested to find out if they're safe in human beings?
So the first phase is like a computer simulation, and they have to pass that before they can even go to the FDA and ask to test it on human subjects. Those are called the clinical trials, and those humans voluntarily participate in the study, and they are very well educated on what they're signing up for, and they usually receive the vaccine, and then they have to come back for testing, for serotesting, right? So they do blood testing to see the immune response.
I guess one of the arguments is that once they're tested, they're vaccinated, the tests only go for a period of days or maybe a few weeks, whereas some of the maladies that they're claiming are caused by vaccines don't show up for a year or two or three. Is that a valid claim?
Each vaccine is different. So there is information on specific organizations talking about the length of time that you can expect to have a reaction and see if it actually connects back to the vaccine. And like I said, each one is different. So some of them, they'll allow you to report things up to 6 months later. Some of them, they say if you haven't had a response within 7 days, then it generally is probably not, most likely than not, is not connected to this vaccine.
Another of the arguments is that vaccines aren't tested using placebos. So in other words, you can't really test whether somebody gets sick because of a vaccine versus somebody who's been given salt water or something like that. Is that a true claim or a true phrase?
No. So in one of the last phases in the manufacturer trying to get FDA approval is they have already been monitoring these people for several years, and then they compare them to people's lab work that have not received the vaccine. So in turn, they're taking people who have not received the vaccine and comparing it to the people who have received the vaccine to even see if it's effective. So that's how they do it. And I don't think it would be very ethical to be giving people placebo vaccines and then exposing them to a disease.
Is vaccine safety a settled question? Is it still up to interpretation as to whether vaccines are safe or not?
I think vaccines are definitely safe.
All vaccines, would you argue that?
I think all vaccines are safe. There is just, we cannot determine that they will be 100% safe for every single human, because every single human will react differently. So I think the important thing to take away from that is science, I believe, can really never be settled, and that's why it's science. We want to keep questioning what we're doing, and that is part of the process of monitoring the safety of vaccines, is that there is a vaccine adverse event reporting system where parents, providers, manufacturers, entities can all put in to that system to determine, or just to track reactions. There's entities that review those submissions and determine patterns and see if there's something that needs to be pulled out and investigated more. And then there's also another entity that is the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and they assist families or individuals who think that they were injured by vaccines, and they assist them through the court system to see if it is a compensatable reaction. And so I think that is why vaccines are safe, is because they are constantly monitored for decades. Even after they've been out for a long time, someone is still reviewing the safety of them.
You're satisfied with the way the federal government monitors vaccines and their safety? You think it's a good system and a good program?
I do. And I think the other component that doesn't get talked about enough is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. So the FDA and the manufacturer will go through the trial portion or the safety portion to see if we should even be allowing the public to administer these vaccines. But before the public even gets their hands on the vaccines, they have to go through the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And for the sake of not saying that 50 times, I'm going to call them ACIP. So ACIP is it's a large group of experts. There's 15 of them that are on the board, and they consist of members that are expertise in vaccinology, immunology, pediatrics, internal medicine, virology, public health, infectious diseases, and it is actually quite difficult to get on that board. You have to apply, then be interviewed, and then your peers have to nominate you. Also, I think the most important member on that board is that one member is a consumer representative, and they give the perspective of the social and community aspects of vaccination. The other part that is really thorough about this board is that they have 30 professional organizations that are highly regarded in the health field. So I think the reason why I want to give good background on this organization is because they are the ones that determine the immunization schedule. So it is a large group of experts in multiple areas that look at the safety of giving all those antigens at once. Does one antigen affect the other in how it responds into the immune system? And also, where should it fall on the interval spacing? And so they take the package insert by the FDA. They also take all the opinions of these professionals that are in the community using the vaccine and that study it, and the consumer, and then they determine a schedule.
We're talking with Kayla DeBusk from the immunization program at the Spokane Regional Health District.
How many shots would a typical infant, if their parents say we want you to have all the vaccinations that are recommended, how many shots would a child have over the period of his childhood?
There's actually an infant schedule that goes up to 4 years, and it depends on which types of combination vaccines you use, but you're looking at 19 to 21 pokes. And actually, some of those are, there's one that's oral, so I wouldn't say pokes, just 19 to 21 vaccines administered. Keep in mind, there are combo vaccines. So a lot of people like to say, oh, well, they're getting 9 shots. Well, they're actually getting 3 and 1 orally. So the science of manufacturers, the government, and the ACIP working together have helped reduce the amount of actual times that we're poking the children.
Folks who are worried about vaccination, what safety would say that it is worse to go through the vaccination process and ingest what's in the vaccines than to go through some of the illnesses. What would you say about that?
I would disagree, because I believe as a parent that the risk of anything that the vaccine could do to my child outweighs the risk of the disease that impacted the disease that it would have on my child. I think that thought comes from people not seeing these diseases anymore. We don't think that the vaccines are necessary. And so the immunizations have actually become the best and worst enemy, because we don't see the disease, so we don't think we need them. But they also have kept these diseases away so long that people think that the vaccines aren't necessary anymore.
So skeptics of vaccines talk about vaccine injury. I think that's one of the phrases they use that that causes autism, some cause autoimmune diseases, that sort of thing. Are you satisfied that the science can debunk that, that it can say for 100% that vaccines do not cause autism or do not cause lupus or something like that, another autoimmune disease?
I think it's important to understand the context of that argument. The first paper that came out was a study done on 12 children. That was the one that got published, and people started believing that MMR caused autism.
MMR is the measles, mumps, rubella.
Yeah. Right. So since then, we've had thousands of studies with over hundreds of thousands of children being studied in those studies that have shown that there is absolutely no link to autism in vaccines. The CDC vaccine safety talks about how vaccines are not 100% safe for every single person. But there is a very, very small percentage of people that actually are injured by vaccines. I wanted to share that about from 2006 to 2016, about 95 million doses of MMR vaccine went out into the community to providers to administer. And in that 10-year time period, there were 0.00012% of people that were compensated for injuries associated with MMR. So even if that's underreported by 500%, we're still at 0.0005%.
So do you have feelings about people who don't want to vaccinate their children are very vocal about not vaccinating their children? Where are we at this, the societal debate about this? Is this, are there concerns wrong? Are there concerns silly? What do you think about that?
I would say my opinion on that is it's important to understand the size of the population that don't vaccinate. 70% of the population follows the immunization schedule as recommended by all those professionals that we've been talking about today. It is less than 1% of people that will never vaccinate. However, they are very noisy, and we hear them. We hear you. But I'm mainly concerned about the 29% that are on the fence. I can empathize with people who do not want to vaccinate because they are not vaccinating out of fear of what the vaccine could do to their child. Others are vaccinating, such as myself. I vaccinate my children and myself out of the fear of what that disease can do to me and my children. So I feel like we're both coming from the same place. There's just that large gap in between of where people are getting their information from. And I highly recommend going to your provider and someone that you trust to get that information from.
Kayla DeBusk is a health program specialist in the Immunization Assessment and Promotion Program at the Spokane Regional Health District. In part one of this podcast, we heard from Del Bigtree from the Informed Consent Action Network. Thank you for joining us for this Inland Journal podcast. To find and subscribe to it, search for Inland Journal in iTunes, NPR One, or Google Play, or you can find it on the Inland Journal page at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Send your comments and story ideas to InlandJournal@kpbx.org or call our listener comment line at 509-232-6904. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Thank you for sharing time with us.